Good morning, everyone. You can go ahead and take your seat. Thank you, Rachel. I hope you enjoyed your Easter weekend. I hope you spent some good time with family and friends. And if you were with us, I know we really enjoyed the Easter weekend. Good Friday was a great service. Had a little breakfast. And then Easter Sunday. What's not to like about Resurrection Sunday? Amen? You know, I said this earlier today. It's got a little nugget for you. You know, the more the gospel gets a hold of me, the more powerful that Easter weekend becomes. And you really begin to see through Good Friday, through the suffering of Christ, through the cross, and that takes us right into the Resurrection Sunday. That's still the process that happens in lives today. That's still what you and I need. We need to always be pointed back to what God or in Christ has done for us. That's the gospel. But it doesn't just stop there. The beautiful, most powerful thing is, the Bible says this, the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. So when Jesus died, that same power of God that went into the tomb and resurrected him, the Bible says is the same power in us. So that's just, let that blow your mind a little bit. So it's, yeah, that's a little recap from last weekend. Why don't you go ahead and bow your hearts, let's pray, as we begin to look at Genesis part 4. Father, we're thankful for you. We're thankful, Lord, for your word that transforms us from the inside out. We're thankful for your spirit that brings life to your word. Holy Spirit, without you bring life, without you bringing your transforming life to the words that we preach and teach today, they are just empty words. Lord, we don't desire empty words. We desire words full of your spirit and life. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so as we continue our journey through the book of beginnings, that's the book of Genesis, we'll look at what it means, and this is our working title for today, to be human for real. I kind of like that title. So what does it mean to be human for real? So in God's perspective, at the moment of creation, when God created human beings, what was his point? What was the purpose? What was the plan of humanity? Why did God create human beings? So these are some of the things we're going to dig in today. But I want to show you a PowerPoint that I've really learned to appreciate. And it's our creation, fall, redemption, if you can look at that with me. Because this is always good to remind ourselves. If we look at that simple graphic, this really is the Bible in a nutshell. This is how the whole thing works in a nutshell. So in the book of Genesis, that's where we are, we're studying that. It's all about creation. It's all about God looking at his creation saying, it is good. Isn't that awesome that God created something and said, it is good? The problem was, it didn't stay good. Come on, you don't have to be too smart or too sharp to look around today and say, the world isn't such a perfect place. Give me a little wave. How many people watch the news? There's no good news on the news. It's all bad news. And that's proof to us that something happened. So we call that the fall, or when sin entered. Then that takes us to redemption. That takes us to Easter weekend, where Jesus came to pay the price. Now it doesn't stop there. Because you have to ask this question. If God created Adam and Eve in perfection at creation, sin came and made us all imperfect. Christ comes to redeem us, but it doesn't stop there. Now you and I have a responsibility. The church, United Niagara, has a responsibility to help bring renewal to all things. So your life, here's the beautiful part of your life in Christ. Your life in Christ, the more you understand what he has done for you, will begin to have more renewal and more renewal and more renewal. So what does that look like? Your family will begin to be more renewed. Your heart and your mind will begin to renewed. To what? To what God has done. Your place of work can begin to be more renewed. Your finances can begin to get renewed. All the things that make up your life, this is the beauty, need renewal. Because, you know, my life isn't perfect. I don't know about you. But if you have a perfect life, then you probably don't need renewal. But if you're imperfect, like most of us, then you appreciate that there's renewal. So if we just keep that as the backdrop in our thinking, because here's the reality. If we struggle to understand the cross and Christ and the gospel, and that's what God has done for us, we really don't understand our true condition. But if you understand that creation was perfect, the fall, sin corrupted a perfect creation, Now you begin to see why the gospel is so important. You begin to say, oh, I'm not perfect. Now, if you just have to ask your spouse if you're not perfect, they'll help you figure that out. But if you think you are, ask someone. So you begin to realize, I'm not perfect. I need help. I have a redeemer in the form of Jesus Christ. So this is why, to understand creation, this is why I think the book of Genesis is profound. Because it don't think of it as a scientific book. We're not here to study science. We're here to study God in his beginning. And really, Genesis is this. It's God revealing himself to humanity. That's what Genesis is. So if we understand our need, we'll understand why Christ came. So here's my question for you today. What does it mean to be human for real? So let's look at what God created the earth for and why he created us. So I think the most fascinating thing about Genesis is we get to see something. And God says this. His creation was very good. Everybody say very good. So here's an important point. Everything God created in the beginning was very good. Perfect. So don't think, you know, sometimes you and I in our mind, we think bad, good, very good, excellent. You see, because we think of what we're getting graded in school. Very good means perfect. So it was perfect. Creation was perfect. But here's the problem. Sin destroyed it. Sin corrupted this perfect creation. Here's the good news. Jesus redeemed it. And here's even the better news. We get to help bring renewal to it. So this is how our life looks. This is what our life in Christ needs to look like. So point one is this. Man exists because of God's decision and will. So we're looking at something today. Why and what does it mean to be human for real? So you have to ask the question, why did God create human beings? Why are you here? Why were there millions and billions of people before you? What was the point? Well, in creation, because I think if we understand this, if we understand, can we go back to our creation fall redemption screen? Because if we understand that God created the earth perfect, human beings were perfect. Now, I don't want to labor this point, but we're not perfect anymore. Are you okay with that? Are we good if we just say that we're not perfect? But here's the part that's awesome. If we understand in Genesis, God created perfection. Everybody say perfection. We understand now why we need redemption. We understand it. We see redemption in a new light. So to study what God's original plan is to then now allow you and I to walk in redemption. What does it mean to redeem something? To take it back. So at redemption, what happens? God goes back to the beginning. So the original plan for man is still the plan in the book of Genesis. Do you see that? So Genesis point one is this. Man exists because of God's decision and will. Genesis 1:26 says this. Then God said, look at this. I love this. It says, let us, there's Trinity. We're not going to get into that, Father, Son, Spirit. God's not going a little schizophrenic there. He said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Here's the point. It was God's good pleasure to create human beings. He said, let us create them. Here's a question that you and I have to answer. What is your starting point? When you think of your life, what's the beginning? How do you sort out life? You say, what do you mean? Well, how do you deal with your life? How do you assess your life? When you look at your life, forget anyone else, when you look at your life, what's the driving force of how you make decisions? I would humbly submit it's one of two things. In the beginning was God, or in the beginning is you. So that's the basis. That we can complicate it, but really that's the essence of it. I either begin with God in my life or I begin with me. The book of Genesis is this. It's challenging us to change our starting point. Forget about yourself for a moment. Forget about you. And you know, that's like telling water not to be wet. Come on. But can we do this? If we can just have the strength to just put myself on the shelf and say, oh, in the beginning, God created me. So this is the challenge that Genesis gives us. Change your starting point. Begin with God. So if you're redeemed by Christ, understand that you're redeemed to go back to something awesome. Your life has a purpose. So our approach to life totally depends on our starting point. So our starting point will define us. When we look at the creation story, I'm not an accident. You're not an accident. Your life is not an accident. There's no such thing. Doesn't matter how you got here, your life is not an accident. Your life is a purposeful act of creation by God. Isn't that beautiful? So then my life, I can also say this, because if I'm redeemed by Christ, it's by grace. I exist by the grace of God. If I'm saved, if I know Christ, it's by His grace. So if my starting point is God, then I work and relate to God and people from a place. Now catch this. I'm going to say this again. If my starting point is God, then I live and work and relate to God and people from a place of acceptance, not approval. Come on. How many of us live this life looking for approval from people? See, you go to work and guess what? Your boss needs certain production out of you. That's approval. That's not how God works. God doesn't work that way. God works through acceptance. He says, it was my will to create you. So that was point one. Point two is this. Man is created in God's image and bears His imprint. So we look like God. Somehow, there's something about us that just has the thumbprint of God on your life. Every human being has that. We're marked. We're different. Go to Genesis 1:27 and then Genesis 2:7. Genesis 1:27 says this. So God created mankind in His own image. Isn't that powerful? Like, look to your neighbor and realize that's what God looks like. To a degree, there's something about your neighbor that's God. There's like a stamp. There's something there. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. The next verse, please. Genesis 2:7 says this. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Isn't that amazing? Now, we're not totally completely told how God creates all the other animals, but He doesn't breathe into their nostrils. So that means God gave us something directly from Himself. Directly from Him. First He took natural dirt and He formed a body, but He breathed His life into it. This is why every life matters. There's no such thing as a life that doesn't matter. Every human being matters. Every life matters. Why? Because it's God's life in there. So He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. So man is created in God's image and bears His fingerprint. The Bible tells us man was not only very good, but when created, but he was created in the likeness and in the image of God. So this is what sets us apart from every other creation. So I'm sorry if you would adhere to the philosophy that we're just a little bit more advanced than the apes, but I would disagree based on God's word. Is that okay? Now, whatever you tend to believe on that, you stick to your guns. But I would just say, we're different. Human beings are different because of God's breath, because of God's life. So what sets man apart in the image of God? Well, really, it's two things that set us apart. Number one, our ability to reason. And number two, a will. So in the garden, now we're going back to creation, in the garden, man with his reason knew God, and with his will only wanted what God wanted. This was God's desire for man, to have a creation who could know Him and love Him and commune with Him. That was God's purpose. When the Bible says man was very good, this means man was created sinless. So go back to my graphic. We can just put that graphic back behind me. So creation was very good, means it was sinless and pure. I love that. So what is purity? Purity is this, it's sinless internally and externally. That's what purity is. Purity isn't just one, you know, well, I didn't do this. No, purity is I'm pure inside and I'm pure externally. So purity is purity of thought. Now, this is a lot, all right? Purity is purity of thought, word, deed. So it's impossible for me to sin if I'm completely in that purest natural perfection. After the fall of man, when sin entered, we are tainted by sin. Even some of the best things we do, even the most glorious righteous acts we do, can still be tainted by self-motive, self-will, self-help. You know, look at me. See, we understand that. Sin is a problem. Do you see, when God created people, he created us sinless. But sin became a problem. So to be human for real is to have true knowledge of God and what he says is righteous and pure. After sin, mankind is in a downward spiral. But there's good news. The world has one sinless man, and his name is Jesus. Go with me to Colossians 3:10. Because here's the good news. You know, the good news is there has to be help. There has to be a redeemer. So Colossians 3:10 says this. And having put on the new self, which is being, I love this, renewed in the knowledge in the image of his creator. Look at this. This is how we grow in our walk with Christ. Be renewed. Be renewed what? Be renewed about what God in Christ has done for us. That's how you're renewed. You're not renewed, listen, you're not renewed because you try harder not to do bad things. That's not going to renew you. Because you know what the truth is? That just makes it really difficult to live. Because then you have the tendency to fall into the trap of self-help. Self-perfection. Jesus isn't about self-help or self-perfection. He's about you and I needed help, so he came and died on a cross to give us life. So this is renewal. Remind yourself what God in Christ has done for us. That's renewal. Anything else probably is a good, honest attempt at trying to make yourself better. It's probably not going to work. Is it okay if I say that? Because I love you and I want to help you. So I want to help you by pointing you back to Christ. Not help you by saying, come on, you can make it. Point three is this. We were created, now this is a good one, to live in God's blessing. Listen, God doesn't create something, and then God is not a dysfunctional father. He's not an absent father. God creates something, and then he provides for his creation. So let's look at this. Genesis 1:28 says this. It says, God blessed them. Isn't that awesome? God blessed them and said to them. So first God creates us, then he blesses us. Isn't that amazing? God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So here's the starting point with blessing. We are blessed by God. And here's the best part. Without having done anything to deserve it. Do you know why we're blessed? Because Christ paid the price for us. We're blessed because Christ made us perfect. I'm righteous, and I say this all the time. I'm righteous not because Randy's so good. No, I'm righteous because Jesus was so good. I'm in right standing with God, not because I haven't had a bad thought, a bad action, or a bad deed. No. I'm righteous before God because of Christ. So if I understand blessing, can I give you a secret? You don't have to chase blessing. If you're chasing blessing, let me humbly help you. You don't understand the gospel because we are blessed. We are blessed because God exists. We are blessed because Christ came. So walk in the blessing and stop chasing the blessing. You can't help it. When you understand this, you realize I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Everything I need, I'm blessed because of Christ. See, but the danger is, if I do this, then God will. See, that's a dangerous teaching. Because then really who gets the glory? You. Then you become pragmatic. Say, if I do this, I get that. Well, what happens if you do this and you don't get that? Just rework it. I missed a step. Maybe. But you know what? If you understand the blessing of God, it's about Christ. So to be human for real God is in the center of the universe and everything. Everything begins and ends with Him. How do I walk in this? How do I walk a life where Christ is really the center of my life? Well, can I tell you it's a daily walk? And can I tell you this? You will have to fight. Everybody say fight. To keep God the center. Something will always try to push its way in. Something will always try to put, your intellect will try to push its way in and become superior to God. Your effort will push its way in and try to come superior to God. Your good deeds will even push their way in. Your past failures will push their way in. Something will always try to push God out. Now, the truth is you can't push God out. So what this looks like is, here's God, the center. Now, if I live with Him as the center, my life revolves around Him. If I don't, here's what happens. God doesn't move. I move. And I create something else as the center of my life. But here's God's beauty. You ready? God keeps moving. So my life gets a little more chaotic because I'm still in His circle. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. But He just wants to create enough chaos in my life so I'll get Him back at the center. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. So don't be worried if chaos is happening in your life. Maybe it's God speaking to you. Maybe God's saying, stop, you got something else at the center, put me in the center. Yeah. Is that a possibility? So, God brings chaos? No, God brings order. That's chaos. Yeah. Your new center is chaos. Yeah. He is order. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Keep Him at the center. Fight to keep Him at the center. And you know what I believe? I believe this. I believe it's absolutely impossible. You know, you hear my words. Impossible to live a Christ-centered life on your own. That is my 100% conviction. 100%. Impossible. We are made to live this in community and walk it out with one another. If you don't have people in your life who help keep you centered and grounded in Christ, don't be surprised if something else becomes God. That's the point. That's what's going to happen. We need one. I'm thankful for people in my life who help say, no, get back to Christ. Get back to the center. Get back to what's important. Is that good? Point four says this. I like this. Man has been given a creative mandate. Genesis 1:28 and then Genesis 2:15. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over all the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. He said, come on, take over this. Go to the next verse. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. We have a creative mandate by God. This is why some of us in this room, you're constantly thinking of a new business idea, a new person in your life, something new. Why? Because you're made that way. You're made to create. You're made to rule. Does that make sense? Because that's how God designed this thing. So work is a big part of our lives. We have a mandate from God to create and manage our lives. Work, now listen to this, work does not create our identity. Work is a gift from God, given to me by God who created me. So God creates, blesses, and gives life. Then He gives us instructions to go and do, how to live this life out, how to bring renewal into all things. So He doesn't say, now this is a key here, God doesn't say, go do these things and then receive life. See, that's religion. Religion says, if you do everything right, God will be happy and bless you. Doesn't it make sense, though? The problem with religion, it makes so much sense. Truthfully, being honest, religion makes total sense. If you do good, Donna, God will bless you. Doesn't that just sound right? The problem is that's not the gospel. The gospel says, I've done wrong. God, I deserve judgment and punishment. And Christ says, you're right, but I'm going to give you grace. Yeah. That's what makes the gospel beautiful. But you see, if you really think in your heart Because I asked them, what's your starting point? If you really believe in your heart, no, I can do right. If I do right, God will bless me. Then you're not a candidate yet for grace. You got to become exhausted of trying to do right. Come on. Exhausted. Are you so tired of trying to do right and get God to bless you? When you finally come to that point, now you're a candidate for grace. Now you're a candidate for the gospel. If not, have at it. So what are you talking about? How did Jesus deal with the rich young ruler? Come on. He says, I've done all these things. Jesus says, yeah, you still lack one thing. See, if you think it's about you, you will always, always, always lack one thing. But if you understand it's about him, then you say, I'm blessed. I'm full. I'm complete. I lack nothing because of Christ. Oh, I point to him. Say, God has been so good to me. Yeah, but you're kind of silly. I know, but God is so good. You don't deserve this. I know, but God is so good. You didn't work for this. I know, but God is so good. But I know some things you did wrong in your life. I know, and I know more things I did wrong, but God is so good. That's the gospel. That's good news. It's not good news to someone who's making mistakes to say, sharpen up. That's not good news. I'm sorry. However you slice it, that's not good news. We all know we should sharpen up. I don't have to ask you and say, who thinks they should sharpen up? Every one of us would put up our hand. Do you know what I need? Good news. He was so sharp for me that now I can be sharp. He was so good for me, now I can be good. He was love for me, now I can love you. Do you see why the Bible says this? It says, we love God because he first loved us. That's gospel. That's good news. Say, you should love people more. Yeah, I know. I know I should. Come on. And so should you. But in ourselves, we don't have the capacity unless you do good to me. If you do good to me, I'll love you. How do I love you when you treat me wrong? See, now I need his love. Amen? I need his love. I need his love. Because his love flowing through me allows me to love people. This is why. It's one of the best things you can do. There's a great book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. You know what it is? It's about believers in Christ who are martyred. And they write stories before they're killed. They write stories about how they were forgiving their executioners. How can you do that? You can only do that if you've been touched by his love. Otherwise, you would fight to avoid it and everything else. His love. Amen? So God's given us a creative mandate. Point five. Oh, this is a good one. Man was created for fellowship. Genesis 2:18 says this. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now, I understand that's where Adam and Eve comes in on the scene, and we can talk about marriage, but we're not going to, because that's a whole probably 2 months of conversation. So we're going to leave that alone. But let's take it from the simplest perspective. We're created for relationship. So to be human for real is to live in union, in communion. Yeah, I love this. In communion is common unity. So that's what communion means. We're in common unity. So to live in community with Rachel, I have to have common unity with her. To live in unity in our church, we must have common unity, something that commonly brings us together. To be human for real is this: to live in relationship with God and people. So that's what created for fellowship means. If we were created for fellowship with God and man, our sinful nature, here's the problem with sin again, our sinful nature gives us the tendency to pull away from God and pull away from people. Do you see? Go back to the creation fall redemption screen. We're created in unity. We're created for fellowship. So in God's creation, you're created for fellowship with him. You're created for fellowship with people. Problem is, sin comes into the world. What's the first thing we see when sin entered the world? And I've said this a few times. Adam and Eve sin. They go hide themselves behind a bush. God comes in the garden looking for them, like he was really looking. He knew exactly where they were. He says, Adam and Eve, where are you? Why are you hiding yourself? Adam steps up boldly. He says, God, it's this woman that you gave me. She's the problem and you're the problem. Do you see how sin, what does sin immediately do? The first fruit of sin. Division here, division there. Sin is a problem. Do you see why sin is a problem? Now do you see why redemption is so awesome and so completely necessary? Because without Christ dying on a cross, paying the price for sin, I'm still left in division with people. See, what's the real problem with sin? Come on, think this through. The real problem with sin, it destroys relationships. That's the problem. The sin of selfishness will destroy my relationship with my wife. I want this. I don't care what you want. It's what I want. What's best for me. That will destroy relationship. Now, she can be gracious and kind, but over time, she's not God. She's a human being. So I have to be careful how I treat her. I have to make sure that it's not all about me, it's about us. The Bible says the two become one. If you've been married, that's a lifetime journey. Amen? And it's okay. But this is why we need community to have great marriages. I don't think you should ever be married and think your life is your life and just keep everyone at bay. That is dangerous. The best thing you can do is, we're married, we have a relationship with Elliot and Carolyn, we have a relationship with Van Gianelle, we have a relationship with Donna, we have a relationship with Ronnie and Dolly, Wayne and Shelley, Scott and Anastasia, Blair and Charmaine. Why? We need each other. We need each other to help us. Because what do we want great marriages? Of course. Get people around you, help you, and support you in that. That's community. That's one of the biggest things in our church that we promote. Community. Why? Because we want to help you. Okay, can you give me 4 more minutes? Now, some of you don't believe me, but I'm going to be truthful to my 4 minutes. That's okay, I'll leave you alone. I forgive you. Point 6. Man lives under God's providence. What does that mean? What God creates, God sustains. Let me say it again. What God creates, God sustains. What's the problem with sin? Sin destroys. Do you know what's an interesting fact? How many people know there are people in the world today that are starving and dying of starvation? Put your hand up if you know that fact. Did you also know the world creates enough food every year to feed every human being? What's the problem? Sin. Greed. It's greed is the problem, which is sin. So God, even in this world with billions of people, over 7 billion people, the earth creates enough food to feed every one of us. Yet every day people die of hunger. I say that to say God is in control. God is sovereign. God is providential. So to be human for real isn't to try to be a superhero, strong, powerful, and in control. That's not what it means to be a human. Here's what it means to be human for real in God's creation. To live, trust, and rest in God's powerful hands. That's how God designed the Garden of Eden. Last point. Man lives by the word of God and under his command and will. I remember many times as a little kid, many of you know I was raised Catholic. I'll end with this story. And I would say to my parents many times, I would say, especially my mom, because we'd have these conversations, and I would ask her, I'd say to my mom, why did Adam and Eve sin? Why? If they hadn't sinned, oh, we would still be in paradise. And my mom would smile at me. And my mom wasn't a theologian, but my mom loved God. And she just looked at me one day when I got a little bit older. She said, well, do you ever make decisions that are right for you and not right for God? I was like, yeah. She said, there you go. Now, as simple as that sounds, that's good theology. Because the truth is, folks, you and I make the same decision Adam and Eve made every day of our life. What is it? Me first, not God first. So anytime I make a decision that says me first, I'm actually completely acting like Adam and Eve. Go back to our graph of creation, fall, redemption. Because what happens? What happened at the fall? We had the Bible says this. Now, there's a whole teaching on this, but we have the Adam nature. What's the Adam nature? Sin. Then the Bible says at redemption, we have a new nature. We have a Christ nature. So how do you know, like, because this is a little bit of a topic here, but how do you know if you've actually received Christ? How do you really know? I didn't say, have you come to church? Have you given? Have you helped? No, no, no. How do you really know if you have Christ? If you've been renewed? Simplest thing I can tell you is this. You have a new nature. You have the nature of Christ. And the nature of Christ is, I point back to God. I point back to my Creator. I don't look to myself. I'm not my Creator anymore. Adam and Eve, the biggest problem they had is they wanted to be like God. What is that? In control. Isn't that what we all want? Freedom 55. What is that? I'm not against you saving up for retirement. That's not my point. Freedom 55. You're in control of your destiny. Come on. Are you? Are you really in control? Because the Bible says that you and I can't even count the hairs on our head. We can't turn one hair white or black. It says we don't know if we're guaranteed tomorrow. So maybe you're giving your whole life to Freedom 55, but you may die at 54. Wouldn't that be awful? So wouldn't that be the worst? Just working and saving and scrimping, and you perish before you get it. Now, I'm not trying to dissuade you from saving. I'm saying, who's your Creator? Who do you trust in? Bow your head, close your eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to help us. Holy Spirit, help us. Point the things in our life. Point out the things in our heart where we're trusting ourselves beyond you. We're trusting our good works, or we're trusting our wisdom, or we're trusting our strength and our ability. Father, help us to trust you. Help us, Lord, to trust our Creator. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm just telling you, there's some people here today, and you've realized you've been trusting you. Repent. Change the way you think. And I get it, I get it. You're doing this, you're doing that, you're pursuing this and you're pursuing that. Those things are how you're put together. Continue to pursue them. But don't let them come before God. Keep Christ as the center. Don't put anything else off. Don't turn to, the Bible says, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. Keep straight on with Him. And you'll see. You'll see. Initially, there will be a fight in your heart to do that. But as you submit to God, as you submit to Him being the center, Him being everything, you'll see what will happen. Everything in your life will begin to take shape the way God wants it to take shape. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know if you've been redeemed? You say, Pastor Andy, I'm not sure. I come to church, I like the message, but I'm not sure if I'm redeemed. Well, you could know today. If you just say, Pastor Andy, I want to know for sure I'm redeemed by Christ. Put your hand up just so I can see it, and then put it back down, and we're going to pray with everyone. I see that hand. Say, I want to know I'm redeemed. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. For the sake of that person who put their hand up, everyone repeat these words after me with your head bowed and your heart open. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth, dying on a cross, paying the price for my sin, and redeeming me. Holy Spirit, I thank you now that you secure that in my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.